Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. A Death at Christmas, another wondrous event by Artel Smith, is the heartfelt story of a young man as he grapples with the emotional weight of his comatose father during the Christmas season. This heartwarming tale highlights the transformative power of love and emphasizes the enduring bond within families. It captures the essence of Christmas as a time for healing, growth, and celebrating cherished relationships. Artel is a writer of both fiction and nonfiction. He spent his 40-year professional career in human resources with industry-leading companies. Artel teaches management and leadership skills in the Center for Professional and Executive Development, Wisconsin School of Business, University of Wisconsin-Madison. He came to writing later in his life and making up for lost time, first publishing two business books and then two fiction books, all in 2023. He wrote his most recent work of fiction, Tasha's Sabbatical, with his son Troy, who's in the military, chosen profession, human resources, while serving in the U.S. military. Artel makes his home in southeast Wisconsin near the shores of Lake Michigan. We welcome back to This Week in America, Artel Smith, author of A Death at Christmas and Other Wondrous Events. Artel, welcome back to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Delighted to be here in a cold December setting. When we last spoke, it was in the summertime. So a little time has passed.
A little warmer for both of us during those periods. For you, it was a lot warmer during the summer there. But it's great to have you back on the program. We're talking about one of the fiction books, A Death at Christmas and Other Wondrous Events. Talk a little bit about the background on this. What's it about? I just touched on it very briefly. And why did you write this? Where did the story come from?
Thanks, Rick, for the question. So it came suddenly to me, I would say. And the reason behind it is that there are some aspects of this book, which is a work of fiction and fantasy, that have some roots in my family life. So Pete, who's the main character in the book, has 11 siblings, 12 children altogether in the family. That is also my situation as well, 11 siblings, 12 children in total. And my father did die in 1976. He had a stroke that left him comatose, ultimately taking him on December 18th. And so I investigate that same three-week period in the book, but through the eyes of a fictional character, Pete, and some wondrous things that happened to him during that period of time. Namely, his father comes to him in a disembodied form while he is comatose in the hospital and coaches him through his impending death, so Pete can transition forward in a very effective way.
How difficult was it, how challenging was it for you to go back and relive those memories that were the basis for this story?
It was mostly a joy to do so. Many years have passed since Dad died, and some of those memories, of course, never really lessen or become less sharp.
Yes.
They're still right there. And what I found was that the presence of those memories helped me to craft a nice fictional story around some aspects which were factual. And so I, for the first time, I think, in my life, I really revisited how the 16-year-old version of myself was managing through that really difficult three-week period and, of course, beyond.
Sounds like a book that you couldn't have written much before this. Now you've got the wisdom of all those years. You can look back and sort of put the story together that maybe you couldn't at an earlier time.
Well, that's a great observation. It feels like I'm 100 years old. And right. At some point, I think there is a little bit of wisdom that comes to all of us. I'd like to think that there's a little bit of wisdom in the book, but I also have to say that I let my imagination run free in terms of the setting and ghostly dad and the things that he was doing. And of course, some of the stories in the book are entirely fictional, trying to make something a little bit entertaining as well for the reader.
Artel Smith is back with us on the program. This book, a work of fiction, sort of, A Death at Christmas, as we talked about, A Death at Christmas and Other Wondrous Events. His website is artelsmith.com. You'll get information there on all of the books, and we'll touch on those as we go through the conversation here today. Using the word death in the title suggests it might be a horror or scary story. What should the reader be thinking? They see death in part of it, the subtitle, wondrous. What should readers expect as the tone of the book?
The tone is one of a family fantasy coming-of-age story for young Peter Snow, who is 16 years old in the book. I picked the word death carefully, but also put it immediately next to or very close to the word wondrous, helping people to understand that there is a juxtaposition between someone passing, having lived a full life, and wondrous things that can come about as he, the father in the story, reflected on his life and was trying to coach his son. So it's neither one nor the other, but I think as we all find in life, if we lose a loved one, it is bittersweet, it is a juxtaposition, it is both things.
Boy, and that's a great observation, because as we go through loss, we feel all of those emotions that you talk about and bring to the forefront in the book, A Death at Christmas. Using the word Christmas, should potential readers be thinking about Santa Claus? Is that the Christmas you're talking about? Or the strong Christian themes that come at this time of year?
Well, Santa Claus is in a couple of the chapters. There is a story of fictional Pete and a situation he is in where he needs to play Santa Claus at a children's hospital at this time when he is 16 years old. And so there is a traditional Christmas from that point of view. It is not heavily themed in a Christian orientation, but anyone who is familiar with the story of Christmas and the baby Jesus and Jesus Christ will recognize a tone that is very consistent with the Christmas holiday. I picked Christmas primarily, Rick, because the events take place between December 7th and December 18th. And that's the reason why Christmas is a backdrop, right, to the story.
Yes. The book is A Death at Christmas and Other Wondrous Events by Artel Smith, A-R-T-E-L-L. His website is artelsmith.com. Book available at Amazon and all of the usual places. Link on our website directly to Artel's website. The book is fantasies, you mentioned. Do aspects arise from your personal and family experiences? And what's the challenge in juggling those? So you're not telling too much, but you're sharing the story and enhancing it a little bit.
Yeah, I did find it challenging, to tell you the truth. I mean, part of me wanted to simply write the story as I recalled it, having lived through that period of time and all of the interactions I've had with my siblings. What I found along the way is that it was necessary to absolutely be sure that I was not referring to specific individuals, and of course all the names are changed. Some of the stories that are told in the book are actually stories that happened before or after this period of time when my father died. So once I got in my head that this was absolutely not about the factual circumstances, but about the feelings that would come about from a young man, 16-year-old boy's experience where the death of his father was thrust into his life. So there was a bit of a balancing act, but there's so many changes and so many, let's call them sleights of hand, that it would be very difficult for anyone, even if they knew my family, to say, oh yeah, that's the story from his life. So I feel like we've done a good job with that. The other thing, just for quickly to say it, Rick, is that of the original 12 children of my father, only 6 of us are still living. And my younger siblings were very young at the point where my father died. And so there are many stories that, frankly, are not going to resonate at all with the living children.
That's so fascinating. And sorry to hear that the only 6 that are still living. So you could really write a story of growing up with this family and then dealing with all that the highs and lows of dealing with a very large family. Mentioned the 11 siblings. How, as you were approaching it and writing about the 11 siblings in your life, real life, as well as Pete's life in the book, how was that to juggle? And you don't want your siblings necessarily to think, well, wait a minute, Artel, was that me? Were you trying to say something about me there? How did you balance all of that?
Yeah. So it helped that I change everybody's names, I think, number one. I think that it also helped that the story, that there was no critique of my siblings at all in the book. The story is really centered on Pete and this amazing experience he has as his father, who lays dying, is guiding him through this transition. So the stories that were told are not pointing a critical finger at any of the children. In fact, if anything, I would say that there's some very positive things said about a number of the siblings. And so that, from my point of view, I think I've successfully sidestepped that potential trap. My job is, I'm the ninth child of this tribe of children, ninth child and the seventh son. So I am not in a position to point fingers at anyone. If anything, in the story, I'm pointing a finger at the character that my family would recognize as me in the form of Pete.
The focus, as you mentioned, is on Pete and your father. Your mother plays a role in the book as well. Talk about that.
Yeah, I touched my mother's situation very lightly, simply because the grief that a spouse goes through, I think, is very different than the grief that a child goes through. And so I didn't want to superimpose my as being a child of my father, I didn't want to superimpose the kind of grief I was experiencing as a 16-year-old versus the kind of a grief she was experiencing as a mature 40-year-old at the point that dad died. So I touch her as a character who is in need of support, who is supportive and strong for her children, who is there as a way to create a foil for the things that Pete needs to learn. Now, the one thing I'll hasten to add, there's no things that I would describe that we're talking about as spoiler alerts. But one of the things that's interesting about this family of 12 children is that my father was married for the first time and had 8 children. His first wife died. And then 5 years later, he married my mother, where he had 4 more children, so 12 in total. What I have to treat in the book is a little bit of the fact that the older family that whose mother was dad's first wife, and the younger family whose mother was my mother and his second wife, had very different experiences with my father, and Pete is in the same situation. He has very different experiences because the age gap is so significant.
With us on the program, Artel Smith. His book is A Death at Christmas and Other Wondrous Events. Again, I mentioned wondrous. You talk about positive. Your father had died. Talk about the encounters that you had, the ghost that visit, and all these messages. Up to this point, somebody might be listening thinking, well, how could this be positive? He just lost his father. But his father was there in spirit and guiding you, wasn't he?
That's exactly right. And I think that the wondrous events are the wondrous part of this in terms of the father and his son Pete, our main character, is that the dad really is trying to help prepare the son for a significant transition from a family where there was a father and mother to a family where there is a mother. And because he was 16 years old, and we all know that 16 is a very delicate age, right?
Yes.
There are things that go on at that point in a young man's life, a 16-year-old, which really do need to be carefully addressed from a parental perspective. And dad, the disembodied spirit, is the one who's helping him go through some of these things. And the life lessons are intended to be remarkable, but there's a lot of humor in it too. And part of the reason for that is my father did have a really great sense of humor, and I try to give that to the character in the book. The other thing that I think is important in the way that this transition happens is that Pete's dad does not appear to him as a man of 76 who's laying dying. He appears to Pete as a 25-year-old in full blossom as a mature adult, looking through a different lens at his son, and his son looking at his dad very differently than the older man who is unfortunately lays dying.
You can see why this book is receiving rave reviews. So well done, A Death at Christmas and Other Wondrous Events by Artel Smith. Book available wherever books are sold. His website is artelsmith.com, and link on by going to our website. This has been a very hectic year for you. I mentioned you've always wanted to write. Now you're writing. Now you can't stop writing. And the four books published in 2023. What prompted you to start this process and devote so much time and effort and talent into writing?
I think Rick, that that where I started out was the notion that I am not a writer. Right. I have not studied writing through my career. I do the things that normal folks might do in an organizational setting, where I write things, reports and emails and those kinds of normal day-to-day projects. But I've never been a writer. And so one of the reasons I needed to jump in with both feet is because I need to get better as a writer. And a long time ago, someone who was an experienced writer said to me, Artel, there is no substitution for becoming a better writer than can be found in writing itself. And so my thought was, I'm going to practice. I'm going to get as good as I can with the help of great editors and friends who reviewed these books. But the fact of the matter is, you get better by demonstrating the skill.
Yes.
So I started out with the two business books, and it wasn't until after I finished them that I turned to the works of fiction.
That's interesting. Do you learn something from something new from each book that you write?
Yeah, I would say that's a true statement. And I think that authors and writers, which I'm very reluctant to call myself, by the way, because I feel like I'm so new at this, is that when one approaches a business book, it is a very disciplined, structured process to make points along the way that will help managers and leaders be more effective at what they're doing. That's sort of my area, my expertise. When it comes to fiction, I immediately realized I had no idea how to write effective dialogue, none. And so what I had to learn in the second wave of the book writing was to create a believable dialogue between two people. And one of the reasons I started out with The Death at Christmas is because the dialogue and the characters involved are, in fact, only a few. And I could get to a voice that I myself would recognize, having lived through 1976,
yes,
having lived through the death of my own father. And so it was easier to come up with dialogue that would resonate, you know, during that period of time.
Talk about the challenges of dialogue. I'm often amazed at that. Sometimes you see authors that really go into too much detail. That's too much dialogue. That's more information than I need. How do you balance that out to move the story along, to give us, the reader, the necessary background to understand what's going on, but yet do it with a limited number of words so the story moves quickly?
Yeah, isn't that really, that's a conundrum all the time,
yes,
right? I think that I feel like that what I experienced, and I think how I created the balance, was I had in my mind that there was a certain length of a book I wanted to write, and it was a confined period of time. And so having the bookends of a 3-week experience in the life of this young man, Peter, having a reduced amount of dialogue, a reduced amount of time through which the story is told, that what I thought the reader would be most interested in is the interaction between Pete and his dad, and that the context I provided around it was relatively light, because the center of the story were these two characters interacting, and that was how I tried to balance it out. Now, as you know, there's another fiction book here that's actually going to be released tomorrow. And that book, I had to take a similar tactic. There are more characters, but the amount of time between the beginning of the book and the end of the book, the time that passes is less than 30 hours. So I tell the story in a very confined 30-hour period with more characters so I can experiment with the dialogue but have a very clear objective that this story has to conclude a matter of a day and a half from the point where it starts.
And that book is Tasha's Sabbatical, Book 1, Saul System Enforcer Chronicles. The book will be available on December 14th. As you're listening to this, watching this, it's probably out there. And you can get all the information at Artell's website, artellsmith.com. You'll find the book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the usual places. That, you just talked about the challenges you have in writing that. You write that with your son as well. Talk about how exciting that has to be to have your son who's followed in your footsteps career-wise, and now you're writing together. But you're writing together, so you're still trying to find your voice as a single author. Now you're doing this along with your son. What was that? What was that process like? Like, okay, Dad, you take the verbs, I take the nouns, or how did you work that out in setting who's going to do what with the story?
Well, that's a really fun question to answer. So my son, Troy, young professional, he's 31. I will tell you the first thing that was obvious is he did not have a handle on how to use definite articles in writing. So that was one of the first things I realized. But what really my son, Troy, added to the writing effort was invaluable because he could find a voice that would be appropriate for a science fiction story that takes place 80 years into the future. So that was enormously helpful in creating the story, but also in creating the dialogue amongst the characters. The other thing that I really found fascinating, and what my objective was really at the beginning of writing a story with Troy, is that as adults, father, son, as adults with our own families and family together, is that you have to build a different kind of relationship with an adult child. It can't be the parent-child. It has to be much more of a collaboration.
Yes.
And I felt that going through the process of writing together would help build a lifelong collaboration that could be a joy for both of us in the long run. And that was my objective in writing the book with Troy. We're also both very big fans of science fiction, fantasy writing, and with a little bit of a militaristic flair is what I would say.
Looking forward to that book, and it will be out probably by the time most of you are hearing this, and you can pre-order if you're not by going to Amazon. You click on by going to Artell's website. This I mentioned is Tasha's Sabbatical, Book 1, Sol System Enforcer Chronicles, Book 1. So how many books in this series do you think you'll have?
One of the early things that Troy and I did was sat down and tried to figure out what exactly are we trying to say here. And what we actually have conceived is 9 books in total. The first 3 books are going to take place in the year 2104, so 80 years into the future. The second 3 books are going to take place 100 years later in 2204. And the third set of books will take place in 2304. And we're going to follow the life and descendants of a key couple of characters who are introduced in the first book, and move that lifeline forward into a set of what I hope will be some very exciting experiences for the reader.
What's that like, creating your own world, your own universe? These are in the future. We have maybe some idea of how it could be, but we don't know. You're telling us you've created this, unlike the business books where the world is there and you're just giving your perspective, reflecting on the world that already exists. What's it like creating your world? You're sitting down with a blank slate. So you and your son, you know, you and Troy sit down and you create this world. What's that like? You can do anything you want to.
It's a problem, I will actually say. Creating anything you want to is not necessarily consistent with what some readers really want. And so in the science fiction realm, there's a realm of work that falls into more the fantasy realm, which I would describe as witches, wizards, warlocks, and spells. And that's not what Troy and I were trying to create. We wanted to create a more logical progression of the human race from where we are 80 years, 180 years, 280 years. And so we bound ourselves to some limitations. which is that the amount of science that can be invented, even though it's going faster and faster, the amount of science that can be invented does have a limit with only 80 years, looking only 80 years into the future. And so we tried to take a logical extension of the world as it is today and consider some of the major trends. So everybody wants to talk about artificial intelligence. Everybody wants to talk about robotics. Everyone does want to talk about exploration of space. And so we take these themes and throw a dart 80 years in the future and say, this is what the world is going to look like in our view. We try to attach as much science as we can to it, and then a rip-roaring story. So we provide enough context so people can get the story, but we want to make it as logical as we possibly can.
I love that. We get a glimpse as to what the world might be like, what technology, what science might be like, and personalities, personal interaction. Where are we as humans after having decades of century to evolve? Hopefully, he says optimistically,
that we will
evolve. I don't know, but I can't wait to read the book to see if, in fact, we do evolve over this this period of time.
Right.
When Artel was with us the last time, we talked about No Time to Waste, Microbehaviors, Leveraging the Little Things to Becoming a Better Leader. His other business book, Engage, Coach, Develop, Building Strong Relationships That Drive Individual and Team Performance. This was a real shifting of gears in doing this book we're talking about today, A Death at Christmas and Other Wondrous Events. We got a minute or so left here. What has this been like, this shifting of gears? And do you have a preference now? If somebody said, okay, we want a fifth book, you tell us what it's going to be. Would you go business? Would you go science fiction?
Both.
Both.
I'm going to continue to write on parallel tracks. And so the next science fiction book will be the second book in the series that we just talked about after Taj's sabbatical. The next business book is going to be about how loved ones can advocate more effectively, how individuals can advocate more effectively for loved ones in assisted living and memory care facilities. So we've got two very different tracks. And frankly, I hope it'll keep me young. I'm not sure if that's actually going to work, but I think the challenge hopefully will keep my mind fresh and I can continue to pursue it in that way.
Well, it certainly sounds like it's working, and I love your passion and enthusiasm for what you're doing. The new element of your career and working with your son Troy in writing is exciting as well. It is always a pleasure to have you on the program, and can't wait to get you back and follow your writing career and talk about whatever books you have to talk about. You talk about relevant topics, and as we're discussing A Death at Christmas and Other Wondrous Events, I see that as a television movie. I see there's a visual aspect to that with the, with your father coming back to you and in the dreams and the visions and guiding you and the human touch that you have in bringing that about. I hope that that happens. The Book of Death at Christmas and Other Wondrous Events, Artel Smith. His website, artelsmith.com, A-R-T-E-L-L. Artel, it is always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. We'll stay in touch, and you write them, we'll talk about them. It's great to have you back with us on the program.
Thank you, Rick. Really appreciate it. Been a lot of fun.
And all of the books, again, at Artel's website, and you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we are back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.